All right. So, yeah, my name is Hugh Brown, and our family founded a Catholic high school back in 2004, and it opened in 2006 with 12 kids in the basement of a doctor's office after having the inspiration in 1996, 10 years earlier, and speaking to everybody on planet Earth about coming to Fredericksburg to open a Catholic high school for our children. And everywhere we turned, the answer was no, including the diocese. So a bunch of us that are basically business people, nobody worked in the school, opened the school, and the school has been blessed. It started with 12 kids. It's now, for the last 5 years since the pandemic, the enrollment's been around 85. And we wanted Christ in the center of our children's lives. And we named it St. Michael, because there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels, cast Satan and a third of all the stars from heaven out. And we thought, well, the culture in the 90s and early 2000s was not the greatest for young people to grow up in, and so that would be a great namesake and a good patron saint. And my gosh, how things have just continued to deteriorate. So, the witness of Jesus Christ is needed more than ever for our young people. In 2017, we founded the football program. My background is I played football in high school. I got recruited and played for the University of Maryland in the 80s and 90s. I actually had to walk on because my senior year, our football team lost every single football game, and I was the captain of that ship, and it sank, and I didn't get any scholarship offers. But my father would not let me quit on myself, and I walked on and earned a scholarship after 2 years. Played football. Some of the best relationships in my life are still from that experience. Coached my sons, coached my cousins throughout the late 90s and early 2000s. Little did I think we'd ever have a football program at St. Michael. But in 2017, we created a program. And I didn't coach it. It didn't go very well. Hired some good people, but some bad decisions were made. And during the season, had to fire a bunch of people and hire an interim coach. And it seemed like it probably had been a very bad idea to introduce football to a school that was 11 years old because it really didn't go well at all. So we spent the next probably 6 months wondering, moving into the fall of 2018, whether or not football should continue. I interviewed a lot of coaches and teachers or coaches that were teachers. And the amount of money that people wanted was ridiculous. The school didn't have it. So I told my wife in May of 2018 I was canceling the program. And she's known me since I was 14, and been with me with every step of the way with football and those types of things. And she said, "Why don't I coach it?" And being a business person and being very involved in the pro-life movement as well, and being the chairman of the board of the high school, I told her that the time commitment is an impossibility. Plus, she had no idea what she was asking me, because if I did it, I was going to run it like everything else, like a business, and just pour everything into it. But I did it, and God blessed us, and we were in a homeschool league in 2018. The first high school game I ever coached, we got blown out. We found ourselves 10 weeks later, 7-1, and playing for the championship in the championship game against the team that had beat us the first game I ever coached. In that same week leading up to the game, two of my players, their mother was killed in a car accident. We were going to cancel the game, but we decided not to after I met with the family on a Wednesday, and we hadn't prepared at all. It was Wednesday. The game was on a Saturday. Met with the family. They were a football family, and told them that the owner of the homeschool league, who was also the head coach of the team we were playing, had given permission for their older brother, who had played for us in 2017, to actually come home from college because his mother had died, and play with his two brothers if he wanted to in honor of her. And we did that, and we did it without our best football player. 50% of my offense that year was in one kid, and he was injured. And somehow God allowed a miraculous victory in defeating that team 8-3. And after the game, people stayed for well over an hour and hugged the family and took pictures with the family, not even knowing who they were. And I realized then that something special was being allowed, that football, football was the vehicle and Christ was the destination. That moment changed me. So we left that season, and then the following year, 2019, left the homeschool league, had 17 kids in the school that wanted to play. It was enough. We entered, the VISA, which is the Virginia Independent Schools Athletic Association. That's the private school league here. We entered that their smallest division, which is any school with a male enrollment of under 100. I think we probably had 40 and 17 football players. We were the smallest school. And we found ourselves that November in the championship game against a team that had won three state championships in a row and four of the last five, and thought they were going to probably beat us by 60 points. And we beat them on the last play of the game to win a state championship. Again, absolutely miraculous. And then we played through the pandemic when no one else did, only a handful of teams in the state the following year, because as I told people, football is the purpose of these young men. We'll feed that purpose, but keep Christ in the center of everything. It allowed the program, again, to continue. In 21, we found ourselves back in a state championship in Division III in Vista and lost that game. My father died 9 days before that game. We dedicated it to him. But as I told the young men at the conclusion of that game, sometimes it's not about us. The head coach of the other team had been a head coach for 15 years, and his father had never seen him coach a game. And his father was at that game. And so to me, it meant something. It was about him. And I'm okay with that. Sometimes in losing, you know, the humility that we learn, you know, guides us better than winning. In 2022, we found ourselves back in the state championship and won it again. And then we opted up from Division III to Division I, which is a male enrollment of 200 males or more. We still only have 40 or 50 in the school. But God is blessing the program, and we wanted to compete at the highest levels. And that was 2023 is a very difficult year. We went 4-6, but it was a learning experience, and we took that learning experience. And now today, we sit at 7-1, atop Vista Division I, the highest rated private school team in the state, which is just astounding. I mean, to God be the glory. That's the only reason. Certainly God has a plan. We have a game this weekend in New Jersey against a Catholic team. We're trying traveling for the first time, and then the playoffs begin. And, you know, win or lose, we give all the glory to God. The school and the team mirror one another, and that we are working very hard to create responsible men, you know, unapologetically men, in the culture that wants men not to be men, to somehow have to apologize for masculinity. That is not us. Like I tell people, if toxic masculinity offends you, I'm not your guy. You know, we serve Christ, and when Christ was here, the first men that he chose were fishermen. And those were big, burly men. Those were not, you know, effeminate people. And that's what God needs. God needs men. He's put us as the leaders of our families, at the head of our households, with him at the head of us, which means we need to be humble. You know, we need to be servant leaders. But we need to be unapologetically Christian. While we're a Catholic school, we have a lot of young men that are not Catholic. They're Christian or don't know Christ. I have a young man I just learned yesterday. He's being baptized this November. We've had baptisms earlier this year. We've had conversions. We have, you know, a lot of things that we do. We work very hard to keep Christ first. And we're not perfect, but from the coaching staff, all the way to the captains of my football team, all the way to every single player, they know the expectation. And the expectation is that we serve Christ and we keep Christ first. And with football as the vehicle, we use Christ as the destination. And we've had a very good time, you know, using the sport that we love very much to give the glory to God, but also be able, as I say, not just evangelize, because young men aren't going to listen to a sermon, but they follow examples. So we're very simplistic in our approach. You know, our team rules are very simple. They've got to be on time. They've got to be relentless. And that's in everything they do. And they've got to love their teammates. And that's in the building, outside of the building, that spills into family, because we preach, you know, faith, family, and football. And that's who we are as a program. Again, at 48 years old in 2018, I had no idea and no plans of becoming a head football coach. But God has clearly blessed this effort. And the only thing that makes sense to me with the success that we've had is that it is giving God the glory. All things are possible through Christ. And if I look at the young men that have graduated from here, many, many, many have gone on to college, from Division I Power 5 schools to FCS schools to Division II schools. We're changing lives. I mean, these are tuitions worth hundreds of thousands of dollars their families absolutely could not have afforded. And these kids are getting a college education. They're going to be the men God intended them to be. And in the end, that's the goal, you know, to learn the courage to be a faithful Christian. I say all the time in football, mental toughness is rare, the ability to fight through adversity against your own mind. What's even rarer than that is moral courage. But moral courage comes from mental toughness, and mental toughness comes from fear of the Lord. We've got to be willing, you know, to not want to offend the Lord, to love him so much that we're going to put him first in all things. And just like a good football player or a good student or a good business person, be willing to do the things we don't want to do that make us better. And that includes off the field, that includes character, that includes the language that we use, that includes the music that we listen to. Those are probably the two things that I harp on the most, because the language and the music in this culture can be, you know, it can be a challenge, you know, to get young men to realize that's not how we conduct ourselves. But, you know, those are little things, but they lead to better things. Yeah, they lead to making better decisions. They lead to being better. They lead to being better people. And in the end, that's what we want. We want young men who have given themselves to Christ, who dedicate their lives as men to serving him. Man, yes, I tried to squeeze that in.
Well, you did.
Reminiscing, I'm like, what, yes. What did we do in 2021? Oh, my dad died and we lost. But you know what?
That was
the most impactful moment of all. When I shook that head coach's hand and he was all teared up, man, because we just beat him 3 weeks earlier and he beat us. And he teared up and just kind of looked over his shoulder, man. I saw an older, elderly gentleman. That was his dad. And I knew he had told me, without knowing my dad had died, he had asked me, do you mind if we play on a Saturday, not on a Friday, because my dad can be there and he's never seen me coach in 15 years. And I said, brother, you have no idea. I'm just leaving, burying my dad. He starts crying. He's like, dude, I had no idea. I said, you know what? I said, that's the Holy Spirit. I said, I want your father to be there. And I said, guess what? We can only reserve the stadium for Saturday anyway, because we don't have our own stadium. We got to rent them everywhere. And, you know, it was a painful thing. But like I told the kids, listen, you know, if anybody would be upset, it'd be me, but I'm not. You know, sometimes it's about the other guy, and that's okay. That's okay. And we'll bounce back. And by God, we have. So sometimes your response to failure defines you. And that's another thing we preach hard.
Yes, sir. That is very true. Very true. Well, sir, this has been an excellent conversation. I've liked listening to you here. You've got a mind and a heart that seems like it's definitely in the right place, despite this crazy culture we live in today. So it's been a pleasure, sir.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you, and I appreciate what you're doing, because young men, believe me, they need it. They need to hear something different, that's for sure.